You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 30 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marks, British American Tobacco. The U.S. wants to ban menthol. I want to dig into an investment case, or perhaps lack thereof, around British American Tobacco. Skulk low on as high commodity prices driving the rand stronger. We saw this in the early years of the new century. And Martin Freeman investing into healthcare in the U.S. Poll yesterday, we asked you on both our Twitter and LinkedIn profile. New Total World ETF coming from CoreShares next month. Do you prefer all world, or perhaps a niche such as tech or emerging markets? 17% of you said, give me tech. 30%, I like the total world. I like it, but I'm the 47% who said actually a bit of both, perhaps. And then 6% of you only stocks. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from CNBC. Amazon's sales surge 44% as it smashes earnings expectations. And not to be outdone, Apple surges 54% on its sales. Business Day, prolific dealmaker Brian Gilbertson hangs up his Pellinghurst boots. Started in 2006 and pretty much trading at its lows. Started life, the idea was to try and sort of get the gem market sort of consolidated. Kind of done it, but the share's been a dud. Morning markets, US green, S&P 0.7% higher, NASDAQ 0.2%. Asia red with Sydney down 0.8% and Tokyo off 0.5%. Commodities mixed but mostly red. Gold 1765, Rand 1429. And top 40 opening call, well, it's looking for a green open, but 5 points. So let's call that flat.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, morning. Appreciate your time. President Biden across from the U.S. Hitting his 100 days and making bunches of statements. The one that obviously, I think, stood out for investors, certainly for us investors in South Africa, they're looking to plans to actually ban menthol cigarettes. This was touted during the Trump administration. Never got anywhere. Menthol certainly is a big part of combustibles in the tobacco space. I mean, how much does this sort of take a stock such as British American Tobacco and really weaken an investment case? Or is the future for them probably vaping and not combustibles?
Yeah, I had a fair chuckle when I saw that this was going to be our topic of conversation this morning, because I actually had a prolonged WhatsApp conversation with my husband, who's also in the finance industry, yesterday on exactly this point. And like any girl who was a teenager in the 90s, I drew up a pros and cons list for you, Simon. So one of the cons obviously is regulatory risk. And this is where this menthol story comes in. And I mean, we've been speaking about this probably for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And British American Tobacco specifically is very exposed because they bought a business called Reynolds American, mm-hmm. which now makes up about 50% of their revenues. And within that 40% of their revenues, and within that 40%, about half is menthol cigarettes. So it's a big deal for them. The question I think is going to be what behaviors will emanate from a ban on menthol. Will people stop smoking completely? Mm-hmm. Will they move over to normal combustible cigarettes, so just your plain cigarettes? Or will they explore alternatives? And that's really where I think the exciting part of British American Tobacco's investment case lies. It's in the reduced harm products, the heat not burn technology, vaping technology, and cannabis. And if you can get people off of cigarettes but onto British American Tobacco's branded reduced risk products, mm-hmm. which is what they call it, then I think you still have you still have that smoker. It's just in a different format.
Yeah, and I hadn't even thought of the cannabis market. And of course, there is also the East. I mean, what we're seeing is regulatory environment in the West, you know, North America, Europe, that sort of clamping down. But much of Asia and the like has been their growth market. And whilst they're perhaps moving to non-combustibles or reduced harm, as they call them, in the Western markets, they can maybe still carry on in the Eastern markets for perhaps a couple more decades.
Yeah, absolutely. And the really great thing about British American Tobacco, I mean, this is we're actually speaking about awful stuff here.
No, sure, sure.
They have a captive audience, right? So as long as the regulator does not intervene, you have people who are actually addicted to their product and they continue to buy it. And because British American Tobacco invests a whole lot in their brands and their brand equity, you also have that combination is quite powerful, because then you have pricing power. So even though overall your volumes will continue to decline, if you manage to push through price increases in excess of your volume decline, you still have a growing revenue stream from your traditional products. And I think that is something that they're balancing quite well, particularly in the East and also in Europe and Africa.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is that chunky 8% dividend yield in sterling. Oof. So you do get paid to hold it, even though the share price has done nothing. 8% is that's a dividend yield in 9/10. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head Research, FMB Wealth and Investment. Appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in U.S. dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Skulk Lowe. He's a portfolio manager at PSG Old Oak. Skulk, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. An article you had in Finweek, and you tweeted a bit around it in terms of commodity exports and how it drives the rand. First question, I'm assuming this is Reserve Bank data that you have found that shows that commodity exports have gone from a decade average of about 16.5 billion, if my zeros are correct, to around almost 25 billion rand per month.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. It is a Reserve Bank data. Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean,
it is.
The one thing that we tend to find, you know, lately is that, you know, big question mark around the rand. You know, why is the rand strengthening? I mean, we've had all these, you know, we've had the COVID environment. In that COVID environment, we've seen a junk downgrade last year, and there's all these, you know, political uncertainty. Yet, you know, we've seen the rand, you know, been on this recent power run, and a lot of people have been giving me the question, you know, why is this just pure luck? Is this what's the story? And I think, you know, I've touched on a few things, you know, among other things was the current account deficit. I think the current account deficit looking very, very strong. I mean, this is the strongest two quarters, you know, South Africa has seen in well, ever. So, when we look at the current account, I mean, we were looking at imports and exports, and actually, you know, with you know, being all things being wonky and COVID-19, imports has been somewhat of a question mark. But, you know, as you mentioned, focusing on the exports, we've been enjoying a wonderful time. I mean, specifically precious metals and stones. I mean, mm-hmm. as you alluded to, you know, 16.5 billion, average, over this past decade, and then when you look at it, you know, recently we're still sitting at 21 billion with the recent rand strength, but over the past 6 months, we've averaged close to 26 billion rands worth of, you know, exports. That is a very, very strong argument for why the rand has been strengthening.
Yeah, I mean, that adds 10 billion a month to our FX market, and it's 10 billion on the right side. And then, of course, there's citrus, there's the other commodities. We saw this 2001 to 2006. The rand went from 1360 to 575. Again, the commodity boom happening there. So, I suppose the question is, how much stronger can it go? Or is that a block you're not putting your head anywhere near?
That's the magical question. You know, how much stronger can it go? And if you know the answer to that one, please just give me a WhatsApp or something like that. But Simon, yeah, I think you've said it 100% correctly. We've had this discussion, you know, once and twice, and on previous conversation, where I say I get this 2003-ish, 2004-ish, you know, feeling, and I'm not going to concentrate on that environment yet. But there's another thing that happened. I mean, you know, recently we've seen that the U.S. coming out with a year-on-year inflation rate of 2.62%.
Yeah.
You know, a week after that, South Africa came out at 3.2%, the difference being, you know, 0.58%. This is the narrowest inflation differential between, you know, South Africa, or let's call it the Rand, and the U.S. Now, this is also something that we've last seen 15 years ago. This is the narrowest margin between the inflation differentials between South Africa and U.S., you know, for 15 years, or 2006. Also, very similar where we had that commodity boom. So, again, this commodity boom clearly is yielding traction, you know, not just for other emerging countries. I mean, definitely yielding traction for South Africa, for the South African rand. And I would be really brave, you know, Simon, I mean, you know, really brave to call a top on the commodity cycle currently. And back to your original question, could we see, you know, further strength when we look at the rand, you know, relative to its purchasing power parity? And for the listeners out there, it's just a word, again, looking at the inflation differentials to put a valuation on the rand. When you look at the rand relative to its, you know, purchasing power parity, you know, we can clearly see that if we see a prolonged or a longer, you know, commodity boom, well, we can get that much closer to those levels. And then, I would say, you know, don't be surprised if we would dip below this 14 rand level very, very soon.
Yeah. And that 2004, 2006 feeling, I hear you on that. And I remember 2006, top 40, up 42%. I mean, it's not saying it is, but it's getting that feeling there. And the rand, I think, can go a lot stronger if this holds. Skulklo, Portfolio Manager, PSG Old Oak, so appreciate your early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Martin Freeman. He is, of course, CEO of Orbvest. Martin, good to have you on the line again. We know that you're living in New York. Last time when we spoke, which was about 5 or so weeks ago, things were starting to look better in the U.S., moving in the right direction. My sense is that's, if anything, gained momentum in the month or so since we last chatted.
You're so right. Simon, thanks for having me on your show again. We did chat around the middle of March, and the country was beginning to move into a strong rhythm of vaccinating people. It's amazing that so far they've vaccinated over 200 million vaccinations, and that equates to 100 million people with double doses, which is still only 30% of the population. But the number is increasing dramatically every week. You know, the one thing that amazes me is that with this well-oiled machine, when it does get going, it is superb to witness a government in the 50 states that really deliver for their residents. So, as you correctly said, off the back of this, infection levels and deaths are certainly dropping throughout the U.S. It's on TV every night. And in fact, it was officially announced last night that New York will reopen in plus minus 60 days back to life as normal, with theaters, bars, restaurants, and no masks outside. So things are very, very positive at the moment, and there's a lot of buoyancy.
Yeah, that is astounding. I mean, we're starting, but we're probably, I don't know, 6-8 months, maybe a year behind. You mentioned the government there, and just to quickly go down that rabbit hole, I mean, it's a fundamental change from what we were seeing sort of back in January, the 6th of January, the Capitol riots. I mean, the U.S. government's almost boring these days, and I mean, boring's, I suppose, what you want from your government.
You're so correct. I think everyone is so thankful, you know, so for most of us, it's no more watching CNN every single day, and everyone's getting back to what we all should be doing, which is really just working and enjoying life.
Yeah.
In fact, last night I was watching President Biden give his 100-day speech, and there is so much forward momentum. However, the one thing that I must just mention is that with all this momentum in monetary spending, it does raise concerns in the future about possible inflationary pressures. But again, if it's moderate, it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah, you mentioned inflation then. I mean, there are concerns. We saw the inflation up at 2.6%, although core inflation, which I think is perhaps what the Fed watches more, was still 1.6% below that 2% line in the sand for the Fed.
if inflation pressures start to come through, how does that impact Orbvest? How does it impact the potential returns for investors?
So the first thing is that the good news is in the US, when inflationary pressures move through and interest rates move up, it's generally by 0.25%.
Yeah.
So it's not material. The most important aspect is that from an Orbvest perspective, we never take risk on interest rates. So when we acquire a building, which, as you know, we hold for a few years, our interest rates are always locked in upfront on our mortgages. So there's no risk to the investors. And also with possible inflation, it means that money in people's bank accounts and in certain funds at present are going to be worth less going forward. And what that means is with the performance of healthcare throughout COVID, we're certainly seeing increased money flow into our niche and increased competition into our medical buildings. To answer the return side of it, what all this means is that our average returns will probably move this year from around 8% annual cash on cash dividends, which we pay out quarterly, to probably around 7.5%. So it's not a material deviation. And then our total returns over the 5-year period will probably move from around the 14% that people are hoping for to really around between 11 and 13%, which, as you can see, double-digit returns in dollars is more than acceptable for all our investors from around the world.
Yep, gotcha. Yep, that makes sense. You launched another project just towards the end of March, just after we chatted last time, and in a new state. How's that gone?
So we launched Medical 32, which is Fleming in Jacksonville, Florida. And it is an extension into Florida, which we've been wanting to get into for certainly a while now. It is a magnificent medical office building of approximately 80,000 square feet with different medical practitioners. And so we launched it, you are correct, and it was provisionally sold out within 3 weeks. So it certainly went better than we expected.
So, I mean, demand is certainly picking up. Are you still, I mean, you've mentioned before, you know, we see Orbvest, you're a Durban boy, and we think of you as a South African business. And certainly you operate here in terms of clients, but actually you're global. Are you still opening up in other countries?
Without a doubt. We are absolutely a global real estate company. We continue to expand our equity raise initiatives globally. We're now raising equity from well over 10 countries. And in fact, we have active investors from over 20 countries and growing quarter on quarter. But one of my personal highlights over the past few months is that I've spent a lot of time developing my network in the United States. And so during the first quarter of 2021, we officially launched our equity raise initiatives in the US. And as an example, we raised $1.5 million of our approximate $5.6 million in Medical 30 from U.S. investors. So you can see we certainly are global.
Okay, but that's a chunky number from the U.S. So then, the question then is, I mean, you know, the Fleming Island sold out in double quick time. I suppose the question is, when's the next building, the next location? I mean, your challenge, I imagine, is finding these buildings quick enough almost.
Yeah, so we are really humbled with the way that we've started the year. We're 4 for 4. What that means is we've done 4 buildings in 4 months. And with current complications with travel to and from South Africa, I suppose the one benefit is that it has opened up my ability to be able to travel extensively through the U.S. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I've literally traveled to 5 different states, from Florida to Arizona and others, to view our existing buildings and also our new ones. And to answer your question directly, we are certainly very comfortable that we will have our next building on the platform in the coming month. And then thereafterwards, we also have a strong pipeline of deals that should be coming through to certainly get us to our goal this year.
Your smallest investment amount, still $5,000, and I know some people are like, yo, that's a lot, but you've commented before, I mean, it started, but I think $100,000 and has come down slowly over time. What are people who are looking to invest into the deals? How long does it take to get started, the length of that process? I mean, obviously, they go to the Orbvest website. How long is that process?
So, in terms of people wanting to invest, you know, it is from $5,000 right up to, you know, we have investors at $1 million. And as far as the timing is concerned, provided they've got the basic information, which is not difficult, it's your FICA AML, which is anti-money laundering information, We can have you up and running and invested in U.S. real estate within literally 72 hours. But a reminder, and that what I would encourage everyone is, when we talk about investment into our buildings, always diversify your risk. Always spread your risk across multiple investments.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to remind everyone, we also have our ODH product, Orbest Diversified Holdings, which is where you invest from, as we said, as little as $5,000, and we'll spread it over a minimum of 8 buildings in your on your behalf. And then, of course, one last thing I must also mention is that the Rand is at such a great rate. It's a fantastic time for anybody to be moving money offshore.
Yeah, and as we're recording, our Rand strength, it weakened a little, but we're 1430 as we record. That 1430, I think most of us would take that any day of the week. Last question, if listeners are interested in getting into the Orbvest deals, I mean, it's as simple as the website, orbvest.com. There's contact details, telephone numbers, and emails if they've got questions.
Absolutely correct. Just go and register, and one of our relationship consultants will contact you as soon as possible. We will explain everything to you. We're not in a rush to get anyone to invest. When they're comfortable and it's the appropriate time, they can take their first baby step.
We'll leave that there. That's Martin Freeman, CEO of Orbvest. Martin, appreciate your time. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings Number 4, that will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. Our question we're asking today on our Twitter and our LinkedIn profiles, is big tobacco still an investment option even as regulations clamp down on their businesses? Yes, profits will flow. No, they doomed. Never liked this sector. Long term, probably doomed, but I think short term, certainly next decade or so, profits will continue to flow. And as Chantal mentioned, new markets, Easter, cannabis, etc. That's it for today. Live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, to you for listening, my guests for the early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.